Welcome to Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle. Coming up on the programme this week,
ultimately it boils down to my own mental health, my own happiness, contentment, finding a little bit more of what I actually want to do. Having been in football since I left school at 16, you end up on a journey into places where you don't want to be, losing a bit of yourself along the way, in a way being institutionalised. When we got promoted, that final whistle went at Wembley, then I thought, wow, what do you do now? I can't walk away from this Premier League. But then a light bulb moment about 3 days later where just cut the cord and that was it.
And I'll be reminding you how you can make connections with mental health organisations within your community. It's Mental Health Monday. The home of the UK's conversation about mental health. Welcome to Mental Health Monday and welcome to It's Mental Live, because I'm recording this week's podcast from the University of Bolton Stadium, where It's Mental Live, a mental health festival, is getting underway. Now, what a great festival this is. More than 1,000 people are here. There are 150 contributors, from oxygen therapy to gong therapy. There is yoga, chiropractors, whole host of different people talking about looking after yourself through different ways, putting yourself, mental health and well-being at the forefront of your life, and actually doing things a little bit differently, thinking about things a little bit differently. There have been some brilliant contributors around this stadium space, but my job throughout the course of the day has been up on stage interviewing people who've got great stories to tell, inspirational stories to tell, and mental health journeys to explore. We've had the chairman of the football club, the CEO of the football club as well. We've had Martin Hibbert, one of the survivors of the Manchester Arena bomb, who climbed up Mount Kilimanjaro. We've had a whole host of great people telling their stories, and we'll be bringing you those conversations as part of the podcast as well in the coming episodes. This week's podcast, though, is with a former footballer, and I'm sure you're going to know him well because he's had a great career. I know him from watching Blackburn Rovers play, but also he was a Republic of Ireland international. He spent time with West Brom as well. Good coaching career, involved in the likes of Nottingham Forest and their promotion to the Premier League. His name is Stephen Reid. Now, Stephen's here on the programme today to talk about the next stage of his journey, because as a coach, he helped Nottingham Forest get promoted to the highest level of English football. And in that regard, one of the most important leagues in the world, but actually has decided to step away from that aspect of the game to do things a little bit differently. But why has he decided to take that step? What are the things that he's experienced within the game that has made him think that he maybe wants to do things a little bit differently now? And what lessons does he hope to teach younger generations of footballers about what they can expect from the game? He's not walking away from the game as such, but he's walking away from that version of the game. So this is a really important conversation to hear and to have. So Stephen Reid is our guest on Mental Health Monday. I started by talking about his great career.
All levels, Premier League mainly. Coaching career has taken me, you know, from club football into international football as well, and representing my country, Republic of Ireland, during my playing career.
People will know you as a footballer. They'll have seen you on the sidelines, they'll have seen you on TV. You've stepped away from that. You've taken a big decision to move away from that. Just tell us what was the heart of that decision and why you felt like you had to go down a different path. You'd just been promoted with Nottingham Forest. You know, the Premier League was there, the bright lights, but you've chosen a different path.
Yes, it's been something I've thought about for quite some time. I think ultimately it boils down to my own mental health, my own happiness, contentment, purpose, and finding a little bit more of what I actually want to do. Having been in football since I left school at 16, you end up on a journey that is into places where you don't want to be. It's losing a bit of yourself along the way. It's, in a way, being institutionalised. You come out of that at the end, and it's, remember, actually, I've gone through the sort of counselling and therapy journey myself, which is still ongoing when needed. I remember she asked a question when I had a break a few years ago. She said, give me 10 things that you enjoy doing. And I struggled to get to two. And that kind of summed it up, really, in that I just wanted to find a bit more of myself. And I've just found that over the years, especially in coaching, probably the latter end in my playing career, I was getting a lot of satisfaction helping others and sharing a bit of my own vulnerabilities, which allowed then players and coaches to do the same.
There's obviously that pathway that people see publicly, which is, you know, turn pro, hopefully have a good career, 32, 34, start making decisions about what you want to do. Is it management? Is it coaching? Is it something else? I think people naturally presume that that's just a career progression, but you obviously viewed that as being something which was more within that institution that maybe wasn't something that you wanted to pursue even further. But if we talk about your, I mean, successful as well, you were involved in, you know, Nottingham. So people will look at it and go, why is he walking away? Like, why would he walk away? What answer do you give?
Again, I think it just comes down to that doing something that I want to do, not doing it for the expectation of others. And I think that's the main issue. It's, I think when you can end up in, and not just football, I think in life in general, in all sort of environments, who are you doing it for? Is it right for you? Is it what you want to do? Or are you just doing it to, you know, to please others, to, you know, fit a mold, to go ahead with the expectation? But I just decided, you know what, I want to pursue this a little bit further. I thought about it for long enough. I didn't want to look back in a few years' time and have any regrets and think, have I wasted another few years where I could be on this different path? And ultimately as well, who knows what might happen down the line, down, you know, somewhere in the future where, you know, I'm not shutting the door on anything. But at this moment in time, the decision for me was the right one for me and my family, which was another big factor. Lived away from the family 4 years out of the last seven. 2 years up at Nottingham Forest, I was living away from home 6 nights of the week. So I wanted to, while the kids are just young enough, I want to keep hold of them and be around them and actually be a better person, better dad around them, not a person that's moods and behaviours are dictated to by the football world and the results.
When we talk about sort of mental health experiences now, as you sort of learned a little bit more through the counselling work that you've done, what moments or what times can you maybe give us an example of things where you've thought, oh, clearly there was something wrong there. There was clearly my mental health wasn't in the best place.
I think that's all the way along, just sustained periods of being flat, not enjoying it, feeling low, anxiety, stress, all the performance pressure. I mean, the performance pressure just goes hand in hand in elite sport. So it was all the way along. I had help all the way along. I had counselling when I was quite young, 16, 17. Then I went into the football world and it became, the support was more sports psychology. I then went kind of back to the counselling in 2018, where I stepped out of Crystal Palace. I was effectively burnt out. So I did some real intensive kind of work on myself and had some support there. And that's carried on. Now it's kind of a check-in now and again. So it's not one moment in football. It's just issues all the way along. In the coaching side of things, I felt a lot of the time the imposter syndrome and then the performance pressure starting again. I think even more so the results I felt affected me as a coach. Felt a bit more responsibility with that.
Did that come through as an anxiety thing? Was it a depression thing? What sort of thing?
Definitely anxiety. Definitely the imposter syndrome. Definitely general mood. Snappy, irritable. Maybe not great to be around. Detaching from people. You know, I think in football it's quite common that, especially if you're living away from home and you're home one day a week, you're kind of got your immediate family, but then you kind of get disconnected from friends, from, you know, not extended family, but even don't see mum and dad enough when I'm back in football or go to see my brother. You know, with the results as well, you can become a bit more withdrawn. So yeah, it's just been, it is a constant challenge. That's part and parcel of being in it, you know, hence the reason why I find myself in a place now where I'm more present with the kids. I'm actually loving just being there and not thinking of driving back up to Nottingham, or I'm got a meeting tomorrow, got training tomorrow. I'm just fully focused on them, and you know, that's been incredible for the last sort of 6 or 7 months, you know, making this change.
Do you have like young pros that you could speak to now who will go, I feel a certain way, and then you're able to go, oh, I felt that same way, and presumably in a way that you maybe didn't have within the, yeah, maybe the dressing rooms that you're in, is that fair to say?
Yeah, I mean, I've done a couple of presentations in academies where it is almost a perception and reality. So the perception of my career, which a lot of people say that was great, incredible, that's where I want to get to. But then when I deliver the reality slide, it is a complete perception and reality, because I talk about all the struggles that I had, but I also, at the end of that, say, I never had this. When I was your age, I never realised that anyone else in the game had suffered from panic attacks, you know, the real imposter syndrome, the performance pressure to the level of, you know, fear daily. You know, even as an academy player, what to wear, what music to listen to, what car you drive, just all of that stuff is thrown into the mix as well. We're in a really kind of vulnerable sort of age, 16, 17, 18, when you're still developing. So, yeah, I'd speak to players now that sort of have reached out, or an agent has spoken to me to support one of their clients. And, you know, more than me saying I've gone through this, firstly, it's about how they're feeling. Talk to me a little bit more about that. And sometimes it is just listening and just allowing them a space to say that, because if you're a footballer and you're having a difficult moment, or you're really struggling, that can add on a load of guilt, because you feel like you're living the dream. Everyone thinks that you're living the dream, whereas you sometimes feel the complete opposite.
Well, and I think that's the crux of the conversation, that some people will think, oh, he's walked away from the game, whereas actually it's not walked away from the game and there's a full stop at the end of that. He's walked away from the game to go and do something else.
Yeah.
And I think some people will hear this and they'll go, oh, I can't believe, he had such great opportunities, because they're thinking completely within that football frame of mind. Whereas actually you're talking about family and spending time with your kids and seeing your parents. Like, that's like life.
Yeah.
That's, and then I guess you then weigh up how much of that stuff that you had to sacrifice throughout those years, and the different clubs and the travelling that's involved in all that kind of stuff. And kind of thought, well, I guess they call it me time, don't they? It's time for some me time.
Yeah, exactly that. And also the sacrifice, I sort of turned around last summer and got to a point, luckily, with the career I had, that I could make that decision and had that choice, which I'm thankful for. But now I want to help players and coaches and maybe other sports people, maybe just people in general, to achieve as well. Because I played at the World Cup. I played Premier League for 12 years. I coached in the Premier League. I coached at the Euros with Scotland. You know, it is possible. So that was one of the key messages, is that you can get... Because when you're feeling that way, you think, how can it be possible to go out and play or perform or do this? But with that bit of support, with that space to talk about exactly how you're feeling, it is possible to, you know, it is possible to get there.
No, absolutely. And, a big decision. Does it feel like a brave decision when you actually thought, right, I'm walking away? Presumably people said to you, well, we can't, like, we've just... was that a strange conversation, just that moment where you suddenly then wake up in bed the next morning going, all right, next step?
It became not a brave one for me personally. And it was funny, actually, when Sharon was on the stage earlier, and again, their decision they made not taking sponsorship from betting companies. Again, for them, it's not a brave decision, it's the right one. And similar, I just sort of nodding away when she said that. And similar for me, it didn't feel like a brave decision. It became a big decision when we got promoted, because it was something that I pretty much decided the summer before, that this was going to be my last season. I was going to spend that time, do the work within football, but I'll be planning what this is actually going to look like, because I wanted to do this in 2018 when I left Crystal Palace, but I just stepped out, didn't have a plan whatsoever. A few months down the line, got a bit scared, not sure what direction it was going in. Who am I? What am I? I'm just the football guy. Phone rings again. Oh, yeah, almost the uncomfortable feeling of being back in football was more comfortable than the uncertainty of whatever might be next. So I made a proper plan this time, and, you know, spoke to people, got the business sorted, business bank account, presentation done. So I went in with a bit of a plan. So now I'm kind of, which it's been, it's not been straightforward. It's I've had moments where I've had a wobble and, you know, thought about if I made the right decision. You know, Forest have won a couple of games and I remember that short period of being on a high. But do you know what? When I weigh it all up and just got that freedom to do my own thing, to enjoy the family time, to help people, to get involved in different events like why we're here today, it's mental. But yeah, when we got promoted, that final whistle went at Wembley, then I thought, wow, what do you do now? 2 or 3 days after the final, I'm thinking, I can't walk away from this Premier League. But then it was just a light bulb moment about 3 days later where just cut the cord and that was it. Made decision and it was onto the new path.
What does the new path now look like? I mean, sort of imagine you showing up like Mary Poppins and like problem solving. But there'll be people who go, oh, right, oh, we need someone who has this experience. We need someone who has this expertise. What will it look like?
There's a few different areas that I'm involved in. So do a little bit with, do my own individual stuff. So support some players and a couple of coaches, do a bit of mentoring work with the LMA. Got a little football bit still with the Premier League this, you know, once a week, which I'm still involved in. It's obviously going to events like this. So there's a lot of different parts to it. And I think with time, it will sort of settle into what it looks like. I'm obviously on the counselling journey, on the level 3 counselling course. I want to get that kind of done over the next couple of years and get fully qualified if I can. So it's interesting. It's taken it, but I think the turn of the year, I refocused a little bit. I sort of spent December just enjoying a December, not in football, Christmas, sort of caught up with everyone, managed first ever holiday that I've ever had in a December with a family. So January now, sort of, it's taking a little bit of shape. Things are starting to move forward a little bit. I've been a bit better at getting out there and networking and kind of getting myself out there, really. Something that I've never been great at doing, but pushing myself out of the comfort zone. So, yeah, it's kind of a little bit bits and pieces, but I think it will, over time, sort of settle into what it looks like.
Well, wish you all the best in your endeavours. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Great stuff.
I hope you've enjoyed this week's podcast. Thanks for checking out Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle. You can find me on Twitter at Mr. Mick Coyle. You can also find me, Mick Coyle, on Facebook as well. Don't forget, if you want to speak to somebody about your mental health, you can do so. The Samaritans, free to call on 116 123. You can find mental health services where you are. Just look for the Hub of Hope. Type in your postcode. It'll find those mental health services close to you. And for support in a crisis, you can text SHOUT to 85258. That's if you're experiencing a personal crisis, you're unable to cope and need support. Shout to 85258. That's a text line. Do get involved in those services. In an absolute emergency, always remember the number to call is 999. Thanks for downloading the podcast this week. We'll be back next week with more Mental Health Monday.